We've been talking about seeing ourselves whole, embracing the value of our person, our presence, and our purpose. Seeing yourself from the inside out. Seeing that you are enough. Say, I am enough. God created me enough. Seeing yourself and seeing the divinity within you, because you're created in the image and likeness of God, not of sin. Seeing that you are a wonder, for the Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. And seeing that there's greatness within you, for the Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And remember, eternity is within you, and that's why we pray that every Sunday. Let the same spirit that raised Christ from the grave dwell in us and empower us to do the will of the Lord every week. I want you to see yourself as you really are, as God sees you, wealthier, healthier, open, liberated, and energetic. Remember, you were created already a whole person. The whole person is inside of you waiting to be revealed with every day that you decide to follow the Lord. Tell somebody this. Are you ready? Say it. It's already inside you, baby. Here's the deal. You can be whole and not yet be healthy. I know that to be true. When I had cancer, the deal is that that didn't change the way I felt on the inside. I felt like a whole person. My plan was still the same. The reason I came to Minnesota, the reason I left my home and followed the Lord, all of those things were still on the schedule. So you can have your health impaired, but still be a whole person. And that's the difference. Greater is he that is in you than what happens to you. Someone say amen. So you can be whole and be healthy. You can be whole and not be wealthy yet. Not be open, not be liberated or energetic. But say this out loud. I'm a work in progress and it's okay. Tell somebody, hold on, I'm on my way. If you're on your way this morning, give God a praise offering. I am on my way. That's what mercy new every morning really is. It's, I'm on my way. Give me a break. I'm getting there. So we're going to continue talking about being wealthier, seeing yourself wealthier, knowing what God knows about money or what God wants you to know about money. The scripture says that remember the Lord your God, for he is the one that gives you the power or the ability to produce wealth. Why? To establish his covenant. And God's covenant with the earth is this. It's a promise to save the people, save the planet. Say it with me. Save the people, save the planet. Because this is your world. You were made from this dust. You were made and genetically engineered with the breath of God in you from this dust. Someone say amen. Say that's good stuff. Right on. Here it is. 1 in 6 Bible verses deal with money, deal with wealth. Wealth is another word for abundance. Everyone say abundance. Jesus referred to it as abundant life. He said, I didn't come to give you what the thief comes to do, steal, kill, and destroy you in this earth. I come to give you life and life more abundantly here on earth. Wealth is the awareness of abundance, the wisdom to know what it's for, and the intelligence with humility to say this. Are you ready? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's what intelligence says. That's what wisdom says. For the Bible says, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. So I got everything. You shall serve your enemies if you don't get up and say thank you. And your enemies are hunger, thirst, nakedness, in need of everything. He will put a yoke around your neck and you'll think you can have the world around you and think that you're defeated. You could be wealthy beyond imagination. There are people that have just enormous amounts of wealth that I know, but they're miserable on the inside because that idea of hunger, thirst, and nakedness without saying thank you for what you have has caused them emotionally to be in a bondage that they can't get out of and they can't fix it. And the only way to fix it is say thank you, Lord. Everybody say thank you, Lord. Say it loud, money wealth. Because money is not the only wealth there is. One way to identify your true wholeness within is to understand how God values money wealth. Money wealth is the least of wealth one may have, but it's the easiest for people to manipulate and control. Money wealth can give an undeserved voice or an undeserved voice to the foolish, and the lack of money wealth can rob the wise of a voice. How many know that to be true? There's a lot of people got things to say, but if they have enough money to put it out there, it can make a difference. How many are still here? The blind power of money wealth is only subdued through investment in God and humanity. And that's what philanthropy, giving, altruism, compassion, all these things, this idea of sacrifice and giving comes directly from God and the monotheistic people. Paul says that God loves a cheerful giver. With that being said, stand on your feet and let us declare the miracle of abundant life. Are you ready? All right. Ready. Lord, I relinquish all. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. If you're grateful for that, give God a praise offering as you're sitting down. First thing God wants you to know about money is this. It all belongs to him. It's all God's. He says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world is mine and everybody that dwell in it. I own all the stuff, the dirt, the mud, the cells, the molecules, everything, the neutrinos. They all belong to me. You just simply were created by me because you are the world and you're the ones that dwell in it. And I made you and gave you power to harness all those forces and make something happen with it. Somebody say, I have dominion. That's why you have cell phones this morning, because we have dominion. People alter the forces that already existed that you have nothing to do with. You have nothing to do with why cells divide and defend. Somehow, some way, there was an intelligence somewhere that said, this is the way it should work, and I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And wow, God, what a great thing that we're able to take those things and make a difference. Look at somebody and say, make a difference. The Lord says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. What this scripture was really about is how we value God's influence in our lives and God's influence in the history of the world. Christians have an ignorance about where God was and why we were here. You realize without monotheistic, civilized people, you wouldn't be here this morning? You realize if Moses didn't hear from God and set forth laws and give instructions on how to stay healed and healthy and how to love and have civil society, if that does not happen, you'd still be in the Stone Age? Today, you are who you are because someone had an experience with God, our Father, who loves us so much, he gave us ability to be saved this morning. If you understand that, let the church say, and be humble. That should humble you. You should remember, I didn't get here accidentally. I'm here on purpose. And as soon as you arrive at the place that you realize you're here on purpose, you're going to begin to work and deliver in life on purpose, intentionally. Amen. Please understand, I'm not giving, I'm giving back. There's nothing I have that wasn't first given to me first. You're all great, wonderful people. You're doing something with what you got. And that's an awesome thing. Look at somebody and say, keep doing things with what you got. But remember, it belongs to God. Right on. Number two, what he wants you to know about money is this. He wants you to know that a tithe is 10%. Say it with me. A tithe is 10%. Now, I don't know why that was established. I don't know what that was about. But here in Malachi, when helping the people of Israel or Judea come back to their homeland and reestablish who they are, he had to challenge them about their money and how they handle their money. Because we tend to forget that we are not accidentally here. There are others that sacrificed and made decisions for us to be here today. And so we must be benevolent and we must sacrifice and remember to empower God, to empower you. The Bible says, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, bring the 10% into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now. Test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven. Everyone say the windows of heaven. But say this way without hurting the person next to you. Can you do this? The windows of heaven Right on. The windows of heaven are open. You should get up every morning and say, wow, I gave to God. The windows of heaven are open to me. And do it with a dance step. And do it like this. Do it flamboyant. Have some fun. Especially you hard macho dudes. Just do it sometimes. You'll be amazed at how it will liberate you from yourself. Right. Anyway, he will open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will not be enough room to contain it. Say, I am overwhelmed by the blessings of the Lord. Now, if you're not, it's because you don't understand why you're here. And you don't understand the history of God. And you don't understand all the steps along the way that gave you the opportunity to drive a car to church with a furnace in it. How many are still here? Sometimes I'm outside complaining about the cold and I think about my ancestors. Whoa, didn't have gloves. You know, just big skin things. But the reality is that I have things and I don't even know how it works. But I drive it. And it's yellow. And you can't miss me when I'm coming. I had a lady stop me because I like military vehicles. I like Jeeps and I like Hummers. And so I'm in the H2 and it's yellow. And you can't miss Big Bird. She's coming. And a lady came by me and she got out. I was at Whole Foods and she jumped out of her car. She said, oh, it's such a happy color. It's such a happy color. Come here. Give me a hug. And Lena's like, what? Who is this woman? Don't worry, man. It'll pass real soon, Lynn. It's okay. Does this happen often to you? Yeah, more than I care to tell you. Anyway. And she gives me a big hug. And then she looks me in the face. No, this happened Friday. And she looked me in the face. She says, I love yellow. I said, wow, that's cool. And then she began to open up. And she said, I'm coming back from the doctor. And he told me that I still have a clean bill of health. I don't know who you are, but when I saw you get into that yellow truck, I just felt something just jump out and say, you need to go see that guy. You need to give that guy a hug, and you need to give him this $5 Target gift certificate. Somebody say giving. Oh, she didn't come. She came armed. She gave me a $5 Target gift certificate, and she says, you know, I'm going to give you this because God has blessed me. My cancer is still in remission. I'm still healthy. My heart issues. And she went through a litany of things that she has been delivered and healed from. And then I looked her in the eye, and I began to cry. I said, I'm grateful, too, because it's been a year now, and I told her my story. And so now we're in the middle of Whole Foods, and it's cold, and we're crying. And Brenda said, always give. I can't give enough. Now, here. I didn't know it was $5. I went and checked. You need to get the scanner. How much you got on this? 50? 40? I start high. Oh, five. Thank you, Jesus. And I bought a video for my grandson, you know, PJ Masks. So now we can watch PJ Masks without Netflix. Amen. But he opened the windows of heaven and poured out a blessing that I could not receive. And because her blessing was so overwhelming to her, she came over to me and said, I can't contain it. Here's a gift certificate. I love God. How about you? I like your happy truck. Are you happy too? Amen. Yes, I am. If you're happy this morning, give God a praise offering. You have so much to be thankful for. But Malachi goes on to say, he says, not only does God open the windows of heaven and just opens you up to the universe and blessings, he says that he will rebuke the devourer. And if you don't want to believe it, be in a tough financial situation and you'll realize there's a devourer of your money in the earth. It will rob you in interest rates. It will rob you in time. It will steal from you. It will steal from you. It will steal from you in the purchase of a car. It will steal from you in something, a bad deal. And you want to be shamed. And I'm helping someone that with that right now. And guess what? I will fight for my money. How many are here? You cheat me? Guess what? I'm coming. I got a guy out there right now. I'm already telling him, I'm coming. And I'll blow up your business. I'll blow up your Facebook page. But guess what? You were dishonest. And I'm coming. And I'm not done. And it's not even for me. It's for somebody else. Anybody ever fought for somebody else's money? All the time. Because we're supposed to be like God. God says, you open the windows of heaven, I'll pour out a blessing, I will rebuke the devourer. And that's what we do. We go and rebuke the devourer for our children, for our family, for our friends, for our church. You're not going to take from me. I'm going to give it back, and I'm going to get it back. So it's not just about giving money. It's about going out and get it too. And getting back what's rightfully yours. That's why you need to go do your taxes. Itemize. Go get back what the government's borrowed for 12 months that they've invested that you weren't able to invest. And then figure out a better way to keep it yourself and save it yourself. How many are still here? Too much information. Keep going, Pastor. Everyone say, rebuke the devourer. Man, I'm into rebuke. You know, I love to rebuke the devourer. It's about money. I don't like seeing people being beat up financially. Because I was a boy, I'm a boy that's been tithing since he was a little boy. I've never once missed on a paycheck to give to God. From the time I got my first check for my paper route, my mama said, you give a tenth to God. And so I've been giving a tenth to God. And my old pastor back home, he could tell you, he's in heaven right now, but he'll tell you, hey, this kid, he was weird. He put his name on and put money in offering. Why? Because mama said, it all belongs to God, but you're giving back a tenth of it, okay? And before you know it, I was able to give more and give more. And before you know it, God had all of me, and he said, John, I want you to go into the ministry, and now I'm here today because God got all of me. He got the whole thing. So we're rebuking the devourer. Everybody say, rebuke the devourer. I'm into doing that. But the tithe also teaches you to always put God first. Give the first of what happens. See, this story of the tithe comes from Melchizedek and Abraham. Everyone say Melchizedek. Melchizedek was a priest of Salem. Before it was Jerusalem, it was Salem. Everyone say theophany. Theophany is the appearance of Christ before his incarnation. The incarnation of Christ is what we celebrate every Christmas. Little baby born in a manger, lying in the manger, right? You know that story, right? So the incarnation of Christ represents when he comes into our life to become like us, to live like us, and show us how to overcome, how to win. This is how you win, John. This is how you handle unforgiveness, John. This is how you handle difficult people, John. Jesus dealt with them all, and he's a high priest that's been tempted every way you can, and he has intel for you to be successful with any situation in your life. Amen. I know this to be true. But in history's past, he would appear in flesh and blood as a person called, I believe, Melchizedek, the king of peace. Everyone say peace. Salem means peace. Jerusalem means city of peace. For Jesus is the prince of what? And when the angel came, when Jesus was born, he said, finally, peace on earth. And goodwill, finally, we have the potential of peace on earth because now we have an advocate for humanity that does not hate humanity, but wants humanity to live. Say, I want humanity to live. Right on. And Jesus wanted humanity to live so much, he became a grown man. And just like that video Monty showed of little children thinking about big people problems, even though he became a big person, with no longer little baby problems, he stayed true to his convictions and humility, and he died for all humanity. And now because of his sacrifice, and because he's alive now, and he's on the right hand of the Father, making intercession, interfering with what's happening in our life, making it happen, we have the potential of peace on earth and goodwill toward all humanity. Do you realize we are now in 70 years of sustained peace on earth where you have not had a major war in 70 years? I guess the word is coming true. Now, just for the record, in your families, you have wars, but it doesn't mean you don't have peace. How many are still here? You have family members fight, but if something goes wrong, will you show up and help them? Right. So our family is just a microcosm of communities and countries. There was a time every 7 years on earth, millions of people can die in a 7 year span. We haven't had that happen in 70 years. What time are we living in? What's happening? Wow. I guess Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And Melchizedek lived in a city of peace. Melchizedek was who represented those on earth to bring earth to the point to where Jesus could be born. And Abraham, the first of the monotheistic thinkers, one day was approached by God in his spirit. And God said, come out from among them and follow me. They're not multiple gods. There's only one God. There's only one creator. And Abraham had the audacity to believe God, uproot his very successful family, and move them to a place that God would show him. Someone say, I believe in Jesus. Abraham, an amazing guy. And in this family, his nephew Lot was struggling where he was. And so people were messing with his family. And Abraham got his guys together and his workers together. And they went and they rescued Lot from the kings of Sodom. And they rescued Lot and they liberated them. And then he brought back spoils. Everyone say spoils. Because there are spoils when you rebuke the devourer for somebody else. When you try to help somebody else get an advantage, there are spoils. Abraham was liberating his nephew, and from that battle came spoils. So if you're in a battle this morning, guess what? Keep fighting, because you're going to win, and you're going to have increase in your life. So Abraham comes back with increase in his life from this potentially negative situation. And halfway there, Melchizedek comes and he brings bread and wine, your first communion. And he comes to Abraham and he says, blessed him, he said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and of earth. Wow. Say, I am a possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High who delivered your enemies into your hands. Say, my hands. Your hands have to do it. Are you ready to put your hands to do it? To make a difference? You ready to be Jesus in skin? He said, who's delivered into your hands? God trusts you. God trusts your decisions. God trusts your heart. And he's put a lot into your hands. And he's going to put more into your hands as you move forward and trust him and be like Abraham. Then Abraham gave him a what? A tenth of what? Everything. He went and took a scoop. He said, here you go, Melchizedek. This is my first fruit. I put God first. Even though it was his skill, it was his determination, it was his brain, it was his gifting that won the battle. But he gave God the glory. I want you to think of something that you have overcome and you have won. And then I want you to ascribe glory to God for how you accomplish it. Are you ready to give God a praise offering for that victory? Go ahead. Give him a praise offering right now. Give him a praise up right now. Yeah, I did it, but you did it, Lord. You showed me how. See, tithing also proves that you are a friend of God. Because he said that you gave you the power to get wealth for the establishment of his covenant. God has things to do, but he can't do it without you. So he needs your money. He needs you to use your money to get it done. Look at somebody say, give and get it done. Tithing and offering is the only place in the Bible where God will say, test me, challenge me. I'm so determined that you are going to be righteous in money and economy and money wealth. I'm so determined it's so important to you that I want you to challenge me in it. This morning, if you've been struggling with tithing, I will challenge you. Bring 1% this morning, give it to God, and see what happens. See what happens. Because he promised to respond to you in this area because it's critically important for those of you who are. You are the vanguard of peace and hope in the earth. But you can't be stingy. You must be generous. Or else, how do we get it done? So try God. Test God in this area. In Jesus' name. Somebody say, bless your children. Do you know there's a genetic blessing with tithing? There's a genetic blessing with tithing. The Bible says in Hebrews 3, 7, and 8, today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. In this case, mortal men receive tithes, but in that case, one receives them to whom it is witness that he lives on. And in the scripture, because there's a piece of the scripture missing, but what it says was, he's speaking, the Hebrews are speaking to the people of the new church and reinforcing about why Jesus is the Son of God and he is a high priest and he is Melchizedek and he is the priest that was before any priesthood of Israel. And he said to them, was not Levi the first priest of Israel? Was not Levi in the loins of Abraham when Abraham was giving tithe to Melchizedek? How many are following that? So then he's saying that Levi is blessed today because Abraham was faithful several generations before. So now when I sit in the room with my son and my two grandsons and my daughter and potential other children on the horizon, in Jesus' name, amen. I sit here knowing and seeing a little boy with a paper boy sack over his shoulder that says Herald News of Joliet, Illinois. And I see him walking through snow and on hot days and delivering papers and then taking some of his cash and putting it in an offering envelope, giving it to God because his mother said, put God first. And now I look back and say, oh my goodness, I didn't know there was a Henry one day or a James one day or an Ava one day or a Franklin one day. I didn't know they would be there one day, but guess what? They are blessed because of a little boy. And I believe it. We've gone through tough times, but we've never, ever not had enough. How many know that to be true? My daddy hated the church, okay? My daddy hated the church. And when I went and do the research and stories on why, and he gave his life to the Lord right in that spot where Lisa's feet are. He gave his life to Christ when he recommitted to Christ. He came back to him after bitterness for years, right here in this church in 1988. And when we go back to why'd you hate the church? There were a lot of good reasons why. And there's a lot of good reasons why people don't like to go to churches today. That's why they create these really large environments that are non-threatening. How many are still here? Why they do it? Because people have been hurt in environments like this. Are you still here? Yeah, you're too small, you're too intimate, you're too nosy. Come on now. And so they said, listen, I just need my space. I just need to connect with God. It is a Sabbath day. I mean, I can connect with you on Monday. How many are still here? I kind of flipped that fellowship thing on you, didn't I? Sometimes people need to get in here, see your smiling face, and let's get to Jesus. Let's get to Jesus. We're here for Jesus, right? Right on. So we get out of the way and let people experience Jesus however they need to experience it. So, my mom would give tithes to the church and lie to my dad. She'd take his check. Said, well, where's that money at? Well, I was just, yeah. You know, it was always something like that. One day, the mail came and he was home, and it had the statement from the church of what she had given to the church. And I was a little guy, but I remember being in the kitchen when they had that conversation. And she saw a dilemma and says, well, James. Darlene, that's the way he would say it. Darlene, you know, things have been going pretty good for us. And if you believe that this is the difference, I believe it's the difference. And he left her alone. And she didn't have to tithe in secret anymore. So now, I get a tithe of my dad, who was given, even though he was hurt by the church, came full circle, and now is in heaven with Jesus and loves God with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. There is a genetics in giving. There is a power in giving. So I'm saying to you, declare it and claim it. Say it, bless you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse. Let us stand up and pray. Number one, God wants you to know it all belongs to him. Number two, God wants you to remember a tithe is a tenth. But if a tenth is a stretch, I understand. Start with 1% and test him and let him bring back into your life the 9%. There is a universal power to giving that can be magical. That's why he says test him in it. It can be magical. Other areas I can be very matter of fact about, but there are things about giving that I can't quantify. And God wants that, because I'm going to teach you in weeks to come that money's one of two things. It's either the root of all evil or answereth all things. The Bible says both. But it's determined by you. Is money the root of all evil, or does it answer all things? Well, the first step to determine that is with the 10%. So bow your heads all around the room. You have fun this morning? I'm having fun. I like to talk about God. I like to talk about God and money. Used to be afraid of it. Not anymore. I think it's so important. Father, in the name of Jesus, your sons and daughters, fantastic people, are in this room. They are not ignorant. They understand. They're smart. Father God, for those who are going to make that first step of faith, and Father, for those who are so incredibly faithful, some of them for years have written post-dated checks because they believe that much in God. There's unbelievable money well faith in this room. It's unbelievable. And when heaven see it, heaven smiles and say, yes, yes, and amen. And trust me, he will give it back, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. If you're ready to receive that, lift your hand and say, I received that this morning. Here we go. Here we go. I received that this morning. Pressed down. I'll give more of the work of the gospel, you know, gifts and surprises. And the Lord, I'm going to teach them about finding money. It's really true. You can. It can be found. Oh, glory to God.